CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
Morning, Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a full show for you today with two pre-recorded interviews and one podcast. The first interview guest is Mario Bifarali. He is an amazing musician and he is about to release his new single Parachute that will open the path to his brand new EP under Mercia Records UK, and that features world-class musicians. He is releasing Parachute's music video, too, directed by award winner director Marco Lamateo. Next up, we'll enjoy a Head Stuff podcast archive of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. This week's question is, where do humans land on the food chain? The second interview is with the ticks. The ticks got their name camping one summer when they sadly got the ticks. We'll speak with them and listen to their music later in the show. 8 a.m. brings democracy now. 8:15 brings weather and more music until we wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
Yeah. You can almost hear a voice. Something lost, breathe again.
Echoing, feeling sings, will a sway in yonder.
And I
all I got left side.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Friday, July 13th, singer-songwriter Mario Bifarelli will be releasing his latest single, Parachute, from his new EP under Mercia Records and Sony Orchard. With us today, we have Mario Bifarelli. Hi, Mario, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to write Parachute.
My name is Mario Bifarelli. I'm a guitar player, songwriter, and I had a couple of chords that sounded nice together, and I was trying to come up with a melody. And I had gone to my high school reunion a couple of years back, and I remember asking, hey, what happened to that girl that came to our school for about 6 months and then disappeared? Basically, I wrote that song about her because she always seemed like somebody who wanted to be saved. It was really strange. It was like she always seemed way older than she was. We were kids, right? We were 15 years old. And so I took that little story and just expanded on it and came up with the title Parachute, as if, it's a way to save somebody, a metaphor for saving somebody,
Who are your bandmates and what do you all play or do?
Well, I was in a band called Crystal, years ago when we toured across Canada, but this is actually a more of a solo project. But I was fortunate enough to record with some world-class players. For example, Near Z is playing drums on Parachute and the rest of the EP. And he's played with, John Mayer, Blake Shelton, Dan and Shay. I also have Devin Malone, who's a session guitar player in Nashville. I have Paul Brown, who's a monster Grammy-nominated B3 and producer, B3 organ player and producer. So what I did is I recorded some stuff in Nashville, and then I recorded all the guitars and vocals here in Montreal with my friend and producer, Joe Pacheco. Joe Pacheco is a super talented engineer and producer, and we had a blast recording these songs.
Who are your producers and how have you enjoyed working with them?
Well, Joe Pacheco co-produced it with me. I really enjoyed working with Joe. I had known of him and met him through some mutual friends. It was just so fun because we were getting these great players to play on these songs. Creative, extremely creative. And we just clicked right away. As a matter of fact, I was talking to him right before this interview. And so it was a lot of work. We took it seriously, but we had a lot of fun. So it was like really, really enjoyable.
Your latest single is called Parachute. What is the story behind this song?
Well, again, I was thinking about this one at my high school reunion. I remember asking what happened to this girl because she seemed like she was living fast and hard, even though we were very young kids. And I remember, you know, hearing stories about how, you know, couldn't find her anymore. And always kind of, I'd always feel like, man, I wonder whatever happened to her. So I kind of took a bit of that story, trying to save somebody. And I had these kind of chords that were a little dark sounding. So I just wrote the song about where I thought she was now in life, you know, having maybe if I would have met her like 20 years from now, where she would have been, the conversations we would have had, what she doing, and how people need to be saved sometimes. And she, you know, good person, a lot of good people that still need to be saved. A lot of, you know, so it's kind of like about that. It's a little bit about any addiction that people might want to be saved from. So that's why I came up with the name Parachute, as if, you know, you'd want to be somebody's parachute to save them from their fall.
Maybe hear some of your music?
Sure.
This is Parachute on the Wednesday Morning After.
Yeah.
What was the process you went through when you produced your next EP, We Walked On Air?
What I did is I basically started looking, or at least trying to think of the songs that meant the most to me that I've written, and try to, because there was a lot of songs that you, there's a lot of songs that you write and some are superficial. Then you got to kind of dig deeper. Then you kind of got to edit yourself and say, well, wait a minute, this is cool, but it's not who I am or what it is that I want to say. So I really tried to find some songs that meant the most to me, and the ones that were the hardest to write. So they weren't things that came easily. Like, so this one, I have another one called We Walked On Air, all these different types of songs that were harder to write. So the process was really to try to find the ones that meant the most to me and that I enjoyed recording and that were a little bit different from each other. So they weren't all kind of the same, you know? So that's pretty much the process. And you can ask any songwriter, I'm sure, that, you know, it's hard, because it's hard to put yourself out there as well with lyrics. You can hide behind the guitar or an instrument, but when you're, you know, writing lyrics, which don't come easy to me, it could be a little difficult for me anyway.
The title track for this EP is We Walked On Air. What is the story behind this song?
That song was inspired by a conversation I had with one of my old bandmates. And we spoke about how we were, hadn't seen him in a couple of years. We had a conversation maybe a couple of Christmases ago. And we talked about how, wow, man, you know, when we were touring with our band across Canada and opening up for all these cool bands, and we really had it made. We just didn't know. You know, we talked about how now we have all these responsibilities and things like that. And it's a song about, like, you know, being young, you know, free and not even realizing it. So in the conversation, I said, man, we really walked on air. Like, we were, you know, in our own minds, we were back then, we were like, you know, kings of the world. We just didn't know it. So I kind of wrote a song about, you know, going back in time and reminiscing about, you know, being, you know, young and just free and irresponsible and doing everything you want to do on the road, you know, and then also giving hope. There's a line in the song that says we're still lions, meaning we might be older, but we still, you know, we're still giving a good crack at the, you know, crack at life, you know, going at it. So that's what it's about. A little bit of hope.
May we listen to some more of your music?
Sure.
This is We Walked On Air on CKUT.
I used to begin. I had no dreams to spare. And us, we lived our own way. Now I would say, life got in the way. And I don't want it at all. We suffered the fall. We needed the just didn't care.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
Well, definitely Spotify, Apple Music, also Mario Bifarali on YouTube. If you just search that up, a bunch of stuff will come up. There's also my instrumental music on my YouTube channel. So any of the digital platforms will have my music.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Well, thanks. Thank you for having me and appreciate it.
You've been listening to Mario Bifarali speaking about his music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun comes out.
This morning, baby.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up.
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. Had the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you, or will it happen to any of you, on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
Although humans are undoubtedly the dominant species on the planet, Angela Gleason wonders, are we genuinely sitting pretty at the top of the food chain? Find out on this week's episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really, you can listen to it just about anywhere at all.
Have you ever wondered who drives better, men or women?
Or why we say cheese in photographs?
Or who put the alphabet in order?
Or why dogs smell each other's bums?
If you've wondered the answer to any of these questions, well, you're in luck. We've answered them and a whole host of other questions on over 80 episodes of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus.
And we're about to answer one more.
So step into the shower with us as we answer... Are humans actually at the top of the food chain?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
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 Let me begin this episode by just kind of saying that now I'm a little bit more scared to just go outside for fear of getting killed by a superior predator, okay?
Like, you know what, Marcus?
What?
Researching In the Shower with Taz and Marcus episodes, I feel like has given you so many phobias and irrational fears.
No, they're all rational.
So
there's nothing irrational about this.
What kind of predators do we have in Balia or Clea, Dublin City?
In Dublin, we've loads of predators. Have you seen the size of the seagulls? Honestly, they're
like flying rats.
No, rats are small compared to the seagulls. Like, I saw a seagull legitimately steal someone's phone the other day. It was absolutely
what?
They're huge.
I remember one time, Marcus
had a knife. It was like, get your phone back!
One time, Marcus and I were sitting in Stephen's Green, and we were kind of sitting behind a bush, and we saw this man eating a sandwich for his lunch, and there was a seagull came up to him, and he didn't see us, and he thought that nobody was seeing him. So as the seagull started to walk up to him, obviously eyeing his sandwich, the guy stood up and...
He started, like, throwing punches at the
like,
seagull.
He armed himself ready and, started throwing air punches at the seagull.
But you know what? Like... It's redundant. It's futile. Like, you're not going to win in a fight against a seagull. But then, like, you might come across a gang of Jack Russell Terriers.
What a terrible, terrible thought.
Imagine. Or what about squirrels? Like, they're all furry little death machines.
What are?
Squirrels. Like, imagine. Oh. Imagine getting killed by squirrels.
of bad ways to go, but Death by Squirrel has to be up there.
Do you know what? Like, going into this episode, and I will say that when this question was asked, I firmly thought that humans sat on top of the food chain, right?
Right.
And now, I'm not as sure of that fact.
Really? Because actually, interesting enough, when we got sent in this question, it's kind of one of those questions where my first thought was, obviously, yes. But then when you think about it more and more, you're like,
I think it's the human ego. We like to think we're at the top of the rock, but nah.
Nah, nah, nah.
Nah, bruh.
Okay, let's start at the beginning of this. What exactly, I suppose, is the food chain?
So the textbook definition of a food chain is a series of organisms, each dependent on the next as a source of food. It can be broken down into producers, consumers, and decomposers.
So what exactly does that mean?
So simply put, producers are level one, right? So something like algae, grasses, plants, anything that doesn't need to eat something to grow. So generally stuff that relies on photosynthesis to create. So that's level one, right?
Okay.
Easy, right? Then they're the producers. The next level up are consumers. So there's a couple of different levels of consumers. Primary consumers eat the plants. They're right. Herbivores. So there's typically nothing below them on the food chain animal-wise.
Okay, right? Yeah.
So secondary consumers eat primary consumers.
It's like secondary school students eating primary school students.
Yeah, I don't know what they did in Mullingar. That's a bit full on.
So say a rabbit could be a primary consumer, then a fox could eat the rabbit, primary and secondary.
Exactly. Then anything that eats the fox is called a tertiary consumer, right? So say like, a tertiary consumer is a carnivore that eats other carnivores. So like, what could eat a fox? Like an eagle or something like that could swoop down and eat a fox. I saw a video of an eagle eating a fox the other day.
An eagle eating a fox?
Yeah, it was crazy. And like, it dropped it midair and did like a loop the loop to catch it again in the air.
Eagles are terrifying.
Oh, they're so cool. Like, if, do you know what? If you're going to get killed by something and you had to choose between a seagull and an eagle.
I'd choose a seagull.
Why?
Because an eagle would kill me. I have a chance against a seagull.
Nah, you wouldn't.
Anyway, come here. So tertiary is the last level.
No, actually. There's one above, which is pretty badass and exclusively reserved for whatever animal is quite literally at the top of the food chain, right?
So the humans, no?
No. This is called the apex predator. The apex predator themselves, they have no natural predators and can kind of do whatever the hell they want.
So what do the decomposers do?
Okay, yeah, before we kind of go more into the apex predators, the decomposers are generally fungi or bacteria that break down plant and animal waste so that the whole cycle can repeat itself once again, right? So, you know, producers, so grass, whatever, they grow, get eaten by primary consumers. Primary consumers get eaten by secondary consumers, then get eaten by tertiary consumers, then maybe get eaten by an apex predator. Then that apex predator dies, decomposes.
And the circle
and
is
the
complete
again. It's the circle of life. Yeah.
Haven't sang in an episode in a while.
You're absolutely right. But that's what happens, right? It's amazing, that whole cycle and how it repeats itself. So the levels that we've just gone through, by the way, the producers, the levels of consumers, and then the decomposers, are what are called trophic levels, right?
Okay.
And you can determine an organism's place on the food chain by its score, ranging from plants at one and top predators at 5.5.
So the burning questions, are humans at the top of the food chain? Do we have a solid 5.5 score?
No, we really actually don't sit at the top of the food chain.
Really?
Yeah, so ecologists have debated whether humans are apex predators for generations, right? And a scientist called Sylvain Bonomeau and colleagues argued in 2013 that across the global food web, which is basically every food chain in the world, slapped together.
So it's kind of how food chains might differ in, say, the Antarctic or in a jungle somewhere.
Exactly. So, I mean, you look at a river area in Africa and a saltwater crocodile is the apex predator. You look at Antarctica and it might be a polar bear. So,
but
I mean,
obviously,
like,
if you switch those
you
two
switch
scenarios.
Those two around, like, you throw a polar bear into Egypt and it's not going to go too well. You're going to see that on BuzzFeed pretty quickly, right? So basically, what these scientists did was they took the average human diet and they went from one of the highest meat consumption and one of the highest vegetable consumption, and they combined that to find the human trophic level.
Okay.
So the analysis gave an average human trophic level of 2.21, right? So that varies
what
between...
What does that mean exactly?
So varying between 2.4, so like this is literally primary consumer, okay, is level 2. That was in Burundi, where it's a 96.7% plant-based diet.
Wow.
On average in the population. And then 2.57 for Iceland, which is 50% animal proteins, so meat and fish, and 50% plants. And then they came up with the HCL of 2.21, which puts us right between the anchovy and the pig on the food chain.
What? An anchovy? Are you joking me?
Yep, we are.
We think that we are the best beings in the world, but we're actually anchovies. That's we should be put into little tins.
That's how. That's where we fall in the food chain.
Marcus, of all the... anchovies.
Anchovies and pigs.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's really taken me down a peg or two.
Yeah, a pig or two.
anchovies!
Yeah. So basically we're smack bang in the middle of it all, according to Dr. Bunomo. But again, we shouldn't be too offended by this because, like, absolute apex predators are creatures like orca whales and polar bears, to be fair. They can kind of eat and kill what they want when they want in their given environment.
So we have your man, Bonamu, who says that if you take into consideration our consumption, then we are, in fact, little shiny anchovies or pigs. But is there anybody who kind of goes against that or have challenged it at all? Because to the naysayer, it would appear that we are definitely top of the food chain.
Yeah, so basically this was challenged mainly by Roop Noreen, right? And I think what you have to remember is that, as I said earlier, each food chain forms a food web. And when it comes to a food chain, a lot of the time humans can be apex predators, but the singular human definitely is not.
Okay.
If you go back to the trophic levels that I told you about earlier, you'll remember that the levels are determined by the kind of consumer you are, right?
Yeah.
Humans fall where they do because as a global species, although we farm and eat meat, we're largely herbivores still.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you base your idea of meat consumption on America and Europe, well, then, yeah, we eat a lot of meat. But you go to Asia, you go to China, you go to India, and first of all, there's a lot of these places don't have refrigeration, they don't have farming, so like, you know, they don't have intensive meat production in the same way that we do, so it's still...
It's not just as readily available whenever
exactly. So
you want
like, it's a largely vegetarian diet. Like when I was travelling around India, and it's like, you might get a bit of meat occasionally, but largely it was vegetarian.
Right.
Just because it's easier to preserve, it's cheaper, it's easier to grow. So, like, humans as a species, on average, are still very much herbivores. Now, as I said, there is a scientist called Roop Noreen who kind of argued that although you can take people in, you know, the Burundi people or the Icelandic people and kind of use them as an example, there are humans that in their individual ecosystems are definitely apex predators at a typical trophic level, right?
Okay.
So, for example, a Caribbean coral reef, the indigenous people there, or the Benguela system near South Africa. In these systems, humans mainly eat predatory fish and have a fractional trophic level of 4.65 and 4.5 respectively, which by any definition would make these humans apex predators, right?
Okay, okay.
I think the conclusion that we can come to, and this is where the scale gets skewed, by science... Like, by the trophic level, by the definition of the food chain, we are not on the top of it. But humans are smarter, we're more evolved, we've mastered cooperation, and that allows us to hunt, to farm, to domesticate animals. Like, wolves are an apex predator, and we domesticated them, and now we have herds of Jack Russells or Chihuahuas, for fuck's sake. Like, that's... Like, we through our cunning... have kind of cheated the food chain system.
Right, right, right.
So it's not necessarily that we are an apex predator. It's just that we're far more efficient at pretty much everything. But when it comes to the global food chain or the food web, we are definitely not sitting at the top in the apex VIP section with the lions, the saltwater crocodiles, the polar bears and the killer whales, because there's no pretending.
And as you said, like, I never really thought of it in the context of a global, of a food web as opposed to a food chain. So us in Dublin right now, of course, we would appear to be the apex predator, top of the food chain. Mm-hmm. But throw me or you into the Amazon rainforest, or yeah, into exactly. a desert, or onto an ice cap in the North Pole.
Throw you into the savannah and see what happens, you know?
We would be very, very low down.
Humans definitely do have natural predators, but there aren't that many people who are... There aren't that many creatures that are hunting a killer whale to eat.
Yeah.
Like, sharks don't do that.
Yeah.
Killer whales kill sharks for fun.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing is kind of killing those creatures to eat. Like, nothing's looking at a saltwater crocodile that's 4 meters long and going, oh, I could definitely have a go at that. So that's what an apex predator is. That's what's sitting on the top of the food chain. It's not us.
Boo-hoo.
In the shower with Tazimarcus, 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 in the shower with Tazimarcus.
So there you have it, Angela. I hope that hasn't dethroned you too much from your idea of being on the top of the food chain. I'm kind of happy not being on the top of the food chain.
Me too.
Like, it's a lot of responsibility.
It is.
It is. Like, but imagine also having no natural predators.
With anyway. Great power comes great responsibility.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Do you know what movie that's from?
No idea. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. If you liked what you heard, then good news, we have over 80 episodes that are there for your listening squishy ears, answering every kind of question you can imagine.
If you want to send us a question for us to answer on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a mystery of the world that's been keeping you or your family members or your friends up at night, then it could not be easier. You can get us on email at...
You can send your questions to inthesherpodcast@gmail.com.
Alternatively, you can get us on social media. Just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus on Facebook, or if you're an Instagram or Twitter kind of person, just look up at In the Shower Pod. We are accepting questions. We are accepting feedback. We are accepting love letters. We are accepting pictures of your dogs and cats and pigs and snakes.
I'm going to go like, meow, meow.
There you go. That's a full range of Taz's animal noises there.
Guys, if you liked this episode, then please do tell your friends and family about our podcast. Podcast spread through word of mouth. So if you tell that person sitting beside you on the bus, hey, want to learn something new? Check out this podcast. That would greatly help us.
They might look at you a bit strange at first, but you might also make a new friend.
Friends. Next week's episode, Marcus.
Next week's episode. Tell me all about it, Taz.
Next week's episode goes back to poo and bums. And
poo
farts.
And bums again.
What happens when you hold in a fart?
That episode will be ready next Monday morning in time for your lovely Monday morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. 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 In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hailing from Nanaimo, British Columbia, the Ticks are re-releasing Rats, a grungy indie alt-rock epic about frailties of humanity, specifically the need to alter oneself to fit into a given group. With us today, we have Zach, Scott, and Kyle from the Ticks. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
First, please introduce yourselves and tell us how you joined the Ticks band.
So I'm Kyle Masajowski. I joined the Ticks band in early 2018 when we had all become friends, kind of met through playing rock climbing and whatnot.
So hey, I'm Scott Reynolds. I play the bass in the Ticks. So in the summer of 2018, we became friends. Kyle had just moved to Vancouver Island looking for something new. He'd been playing music for 10 years and he'd worked his way into the open mic scene in Edmonton, but it just wasn't feeling right, so he decided to pack up and he changed his life and he moved to the coast. So that's when Zach and myself met Kyle. We developed a friendship over that summer. In the evenings, we would often play music around the campfire, and to our surprise, the songs Kyle was playing were his own. We had never met somebody who had written their own songs, so we were just so infatuated by his abilities, we picked up our own instruments and started learning to play. This turned into a jam band type setting that eventually turned into open mics. It was kind of just a natural progression. That ended up becoming our first show in January of 2019. That's when we officially became The Ticks. Since then, we've become roommates and we've just played every night that we can. And it's really developed our sound into a cohesiveness. Now we have some experience under our belts. We're really excited to get out and play some live shows. A lot of our favorite songs have never seen the stage and we're really excited for people to hear them.
Where did the name The Ticks come from?
Well, like most names, it started as a bit of a joke. It's kind of funny. In the beginning, we met rock climbing, and in the summer we were camping a lot and we were all over the island trying new spots. And of course that summer we all got ticks. We really were not too impressed by them. We weren't too happy about it, but it happened. So when we started jamming and we wanted to play open mics, we needed a stage name, and we really liked the names like Pixies and The Strokes, things that are short and punchy and easy to remember. So someone suggested The Ticks, and it kind of just stuck. We didn't really suggest anything better up until this point. So it's not that we really love the name. We just haven't suggested a better one.
Yeah, the name kind of just stuck. Everyone liked it.
And that's, so we've ended up keeping The Ticks since our first show, and we love it now.
Your latest single is called Rats. What is the story behind this song?
Well, the story behind this song was to keep it simple. We wanted to keep the song kind of to the roots of how we learned to play, which was just off of simple chord progressions and a fun style of energetic writing. Loud guitars, loud drums, and a punchy bass. So it all started from that lead guitar line. And then from there, it progressed into a kind of just this bouncy little rhythm with some fun lyrics that kind of reflect the introspective look at society and how people feel the need to change themselves. So the song developed quite quickly. And in the course of the time that we were writing this, it was a big period of introspection. So I think it came out quite accurately to the time.
May we hear some of your music?
Certainly.
This is Rats on the Wednesday Morning After.
Makes no sense. Ooh, ooh.
What is your favorite way to entertain your fans, and how did you do during the pandemic?
I mean, our favorite way to entertain fans is definitely by playing live in front of them, but unfortunately, we were not able to do that. So we pretty much just, you know, we haven't been all that on it when it comes to the whole social media thing. We're just not really a biggest, you know, marketers of ourselves, but we're kind of getting better. So we did a few live shows when the pandemic first started, or like Instagram Live and Facebook Live. Other than that, we just recorded a hell of a lot on our own in our own jam space that we created at our house. And pretty much that's how we've been trying to stay creative, is and like at least trying to get some music out there that people can listen to and just kind of like get to know who we are through our music rather than us posting our dumb faces online all the time. But, you know, we're going to try and do that more, because I think that's how you get people to, you know, even listen to your music. But that's about it.
Cockroach is another single from your EP. What is the process you went through writing and producing this song?
So I wrote this song while I was recovering from an ACL injury. So I got surgery and I was in the house for about 3 months, pretty much just sitting behind a computer. And like, I didn't have all that much experience writing songs. So this was kind of just like 3 months straight of just learning the guitar and how it kind of works. And then, yeah, I kind of just came up with the lead guitar part and the chorus, and I wrote the lyrics. And then I had Kyle come in and he helped me with the chorus and just kind of some melody stuff. And then everybody kind of just re-recorded their, you know, their rightful parts and made it what it is now. Nice, big, punchy song, more Tix-like rather than me being in squalor with a knee injury.
May we hear some more of your music?
Let's do it.
This is Cockroach on CKUT.
Every home I've known has
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
So as of now, we have two EPs on all of your favorite streaming platforms. The first one's called Our Tix Tape. It's a 5-song live recorded album. It was really just us figuring out our process of recording. It was all new to us. So we went for a full live recording because it seemed like the easiest to us, actually. We've learned a lot since then, but we still love that EP. It led to our next EP, which we've called Creatures, which is this one. This one was a lot more refined. It was fully mixed by our good friend Burke, who's always over at our jam space hanging and playing with us. So those two we felt deserved to go onto all the streaming platforms. But we also have a SoundCloud account, which is full of unreleased songs that are, they're still great songs. They're just not organized, say, in a EP or an album format. So if you're looking for more music from the Tix, check out our SoundCloud account. We're also starting up our website, which will be featuring different songs all the time and possibly some unreleased tracks, just to give a taste to anybody looking for what's coming up next from us.
Thank you for your interview today.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You have been listening to the Tix speaking about their music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
When you tell your girlfriend, "Get changed, you're dressed like a tramp. Change your password so I can see your messages." When are you going to change your mind, you stubborn idiot? Change your attitude when you talk to me. Change your friends. You better change.